fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
And welcome to the Wednesday show for week 14. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We're going to take a lot of your emails at the end of the show at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're here to help the people, Heath. They need to win. We're here to help them.
I am,
you know,
so
that's our,
happy.
That's our mission statement.
You are here.
I am. In person.
In person. When you say something I don't like, now I can just punch you.
There's a little bit too much distance here for that.
I've got long arms. Yes, we are going to help people win their leagues over the next, not just this week.
Like, yeah.
It's not enough to
right.
just win week 14. We're winning the next 3 weeks. We're going to win the whole thing.
And I've got stashes not only for week 15, but also week 16. We'll see how much you want to trust Joe Flacco. He's got some good matchups coming up. And Ricky Seals-Jones, by the way, weeks 15 and 16 has two of the best matchups you could ask for if you are a tight end. I'm not a tight end. By the way, if Heath punches me, then he'll probably get fired, and we'll need a new analyst, and we'll have to go to ZipRecruiter, because if you're hiring with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, and you can do it all with a single click. You can try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. That is ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. What's going on over there? You're smiling.
I don't know what's going on over there. We've got some new decor in the office that I've not noticed before, at least. Maybe it's been here for a little while. But it's very nice. It is very strange.
It's a picture that
It's a picture of a child in Giants gear. I thought it might be you, but then I realized this child's already taller than you. So it couldn't be you.
He's got a starter jersey on, so
that's pretty awesome.
Mid-90s?
Yeah.
Thinking early to mid-90s? Yeah. I have no idea what that is. Adorable little Giants fan. All right, so waiver wire recap. Here are a few things I noticed looking at the most added and most dropped list. Also today, again, like I said, the stashes, previewing the Thursday game, New Orleans at Atlanta. Tough calls for the week. So, yeah, we'll get into starter sit, obviously, tomorrow and Friday, but Russell Wilson, people are asking about him. Doug Baldwin, Leonard Fournette. Can we trust Dak Prescott? Can we trust Christian McCaffrey against a team that allows the fewest fantasy points to running backs? We'll get into all that. Let's start with the waiver wire recap, though, because obviously those running backs were, you know, very popular. Mike Davis, Giovanni Bernard, Peyton Barber were three of the four most added players. But nobody, Heath, seems to be interested in Kerwin Williams. He's only 5% owned. He had 16 carries for 97 yards against the Rams. He faces the Titans, who lost one of their best run defenders, Daquan Jones. And I know the Titans are a tough matchup, but it seemed odd to me that, you know, three of the top four players, one was a DST, the other three were the running backs,
yep.
But not Kerwin Williams. Nobody's asking how, nobody's asking now, nobody's asking about Kerwin Williams.
I don't think this is nothing against Kerwin Williams. This is about the mysterious and misleading ways of one Bruce Arians, who, even after Adrian Peterson did not practice all week last week, said that he would be a game-time decision in week 13.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's just more concern that Adrian Peterson comes back this week. With Bernard, Mixon just suffered the concussion. He's just starting his way through the protocol, so we feel a little better about that. With Barber, maybe he starts even if Doug Martin comes back. We're not as worried about that. With Mike Davis, there's no competition for him because Chris Carson isn't coming back this week.
But I don't want to start Mike Davis this week. He's got the toughest matchup of those three by far, maybe even those four if you throw in the Cardinals.
He is my least favorite, assuming that Mixon, Martin, and Peterson are all out. But he's the only one that's guaranteed to get the full workload.
Yeah, that's true. And he's been catching some passes as well over the last 2 weeks. But as Heath just alluded to, Chris Carson could be back in week 15. If Mike Davis does well at Jacksonville, I don't know that Chris Carson coming back even matters. By the way, Jamie will be coming in very shortly. We'll get him on soon. But yeah, I know. I understand Mike Davis, I believe, was the most added player. I don't know if he's the most owned. Let's see. So Mike Davis, yeah, he's 50% owned. Giovanni Bernard is 45% owned, and Peyton Barber's 28% owned. But Davis is at the back of that pack right now, right? Until pending further injury news.
Davis is at the back of the pack for this week. If my playoffs started in week 15, he'd probably be my favorite.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers is still only 78% owned, so you can still pick him up at Carolina next week. Minnesota at home in week 16. And it does. I mean, it doesn't matter that he's facing Minnesota at home. It's at home. I want to say he scored like 40 points against them at home late last year. I'll check on that. Jamie picked up Jordy Nelson. So just keep in mind that a lot of the guys that we talk about on the waiver wire show, you know, really the guys that we don't talk about on the waiver wire show, could be available in some of your leagues. So just make sure you like take a look at the roster trends if you're on a CBS Sports League. Go to the roster trends and go to the most owned players and sort by free agents. And it's a good way to find guys like Jordy Nelson that slipped through the cracks, maybe Josh Gordon. I keep wanting to bring this up, but I never do. And I'm glad that Le'Veon Bell hasn't gotten hurt. But do you think it makes sense to roster James Conner? Because if heaven forbid, Le'Veon Bell gets hurt.
Yeah. He definitely has some value. It's just like I was kind of struggling to find guys to add or to drop so that I could pick up Bernard and Barber.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a total, like, complete bench stash.
You've got to have you've
got to have Le'Veon Bell, first of all. Like, if you have Le'Veon Bell, you have to own Connor, I think. I personally would.
Would you pick Connor up over Bernard, Barber, Davis?
Not if I have to start one of them, but if they're all out, okay, fine. How about, here's the next
question. I would
rather
keep the other team from using those guys against me than stash James Connor.
All right, that's a good point, but let's say Le'Veon Bell won the lottery, like Dave would say, and retired.
Okay.
And we're doing the show yesterday.
Okay.
Where's James Conner ranked?
When did he win? Did he win the lottery today or yesterday?
He won it Sunday night.
Okay.
It was his last game.
This seems
no,
like
he played
a
on
really
Monday.
Really dumb hypothetical.
Monday night he won it, yeah.
James Conner were starting this week and Le'Veon Bell didn't exist.
Yeah, would he be ahead of Peyton Barber and Giovanni Bernard?
I don't think he would.
No? Okay.
But he'd be in that discussion.
So much work. No, it doesn't really matter. You know what? The bottom line is Jamie's here, and that's what really matters.
It's nice that I walked in on might be the dumbest conversation I've ever heard about Le'Veon Bell winning the lottery on Sunday or Monday. And
Monday. I forgot he played on Monday.
God, turn the headset down. My goodness, you show up here and you make me deaf.
Is this better?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. No, that's what I do. I yell at people, Jamie.
God.
You know that. Well, hi, Jamie. I'm glad you're in a good mood. And then the other guy I wanted to mention was Dan Bailey, who's 25% owned, and throughout the course of a season, probably more, you know, he's probably one of those like 90% owned kickers.
Yes. I in my streamers article last week and this week have yelled about Dan Bailey.
So everybody's yelling.
Great matchups the next 2 weeks against the Giants and the Raiders. He should be picked up and started.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. So you hear your news and notes. Rob Gronkowski's suspension was upheld. They have a Monday night game hosting the Dolphins. Jamie, did you pick up Danny Amendola in any leagues?
I did not.
Did you want to?
I have him in our Dynasty League, if you paid attention. Do you know that we're the only team with a bye in that league?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Boy, we're special.
Yeah.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers scored 44 points against the Vikings last year.
You're not going to share in any of the winnings.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I just want the glory. Juju Smith-Schuster. This is big. Juju is suspended one game. I went big. I got Martavis Bryant in three leagues yesterday. He's only 56% owned. It was your stat about Steelers against Ravens without Jimmy Smith, plus it's prime time at home.
You know what Bryant did in one of those games?
150 and 2.
No. The 2 is right.
Oh, 50 and 2.
Well, what if it's only 2 catches?
Oh, damn. 2 yards. What did he do?
3 catches, 44 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that 6 touchdown Ben Roethlisberger game.
Right. I feel like I want to start. But I look at Bryant in the last 2 weeks. He's had 4 catches for 40 yards on 6 targets in 2 straight games. But he did catch a touchdown in the one game that Juju Smith-Schuster missed. So, like, those running backs that we picked up, Martavis Bryant, who's the better flex?
I look at Bryant a lot like what we said about Josh Doctson last week going against Dallas. I think he's going to be somewhere in that 40 to 50, maybe 60-yard range. And he has the big play potential, sure. But you're just hoping he scores a touchdown. And it's not a terrible bet, but I would rather start those running backs over Bryant. All of them.
I feel like I'm going to, obviously, that's pending the injury.
And Marquise Goodwin. And Damian Amendola in PPR, for sure.
That's interesting. Because I don't want to go all in on the Steelers offense against the Ravens. You know, they have had a good defense this year, but they're missing their top cornerback, and they have faced lousy competition. And 4 weeks in a row, the Ravens have given up big games to a number one wide receiver. But they really never give up big games to a number two wide receiver, but that might change this week.
Just treat the Ravens like an average matchup then.
And an average matchup for Ben Roethlisberger at home on primetime, like honestly could be 4 touchdowns again.
Good God, this was prior to Thursday night's game last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, when he played on Thursday night?
Who?
Roethlisberger?
Three weeks ago. The game against the Titans.
This was numbers going into that game and primetime home games. 21 career games. No, this is just home primetime games during his career.
It's a lot.
5,674 yards, 45 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So he basically 2 touchdowns a game, right?
Yeah. That's not great, but no, it's good. But you got to look more recently.
He's going to be very good. He's a top 7 or 8 quarterback for all of us,
right.
I think.
Yeah, Martavis Bryant's going to be a good start then, isn't he?
He might be, or Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown might combine for 300 yards again.
Yeah. All right, Mark Ingram missed practice with a toe injury. We're not worried right now, but we will talk about that. New Orleans cornerback Marshawn Lattimore practiced. That's good news. They have the Thursday game. C.J. Fedorowicz and Bruce Ellington are on IR. And I keep coming back to this question of, really, Steven Anderson? It just feels so dicey to me.
How do you feel about Ryan Griffin?
Not very, very good.
How do you feel about C.J. Fedorowicz?
Not good. I never was in on
They've over the last year and a half, though, they've both been a thing from time to time in this Texans offense.
From time to time, I know.
And now Anderson's the only healthy tight end.
Forget tight end. He's the only healthy second receiver. Yeah. Bruce Ellington, out.
Braxton I know.
Out. Will
but
Fuller,
they, but they
out.
Could have a 150-yard passing game, you know? Could be a terrible game for them.
The 49ers are pretty bad.
It could.
Yeah. Okay. So are we still going? You would like Seals Jones better.
Yes, for sure.
How about you? Anderson or Seals
Jones? I mean,
Jones?
They're very close for me. I just think Anderson, what we saw last week, could be a sign of things to come. So I'll take the guy getting 12 targets, potentially, more so than the guy who's got a ceiling of about 6, which is what he's been over the 3 games he's been playing.
Okay, Amari Cooper still in the concussion protocol, still dealing with the ankle injury. Doug Martin still in the concussion protocol. Jordan Matthews is out for the season. Zay Jones, anyone against the Colts?
Who's the quarterback?
Yep.
We're thinking Peterman right now? And Kyle Long is out for the season, Bears offensive guard.
I know we talked about maybe the Colts as a 1-week DST option. Did we talk about them as a 2-week DST option? Because they get the Broncos next week at home in a short week.
Right. No, we didn't yet. But that's in the notes for the week 15 stashes. And that's a good point. Do you expect the following players? We've already talked about some of these guys. But Amir Abdullah.
No.
Doug Martin.
No.
Joe Mixon.
No.
Jordan Reed.
No.
Zach Ertz.
No.
Greg Olsen.
Yes.
Devin Funchess.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford?
Yes.
I'm ranking it as if no right now.
We haven't ranked as if no, but by the time I think we get to Friday, I would expect Olsen to play, I would expect Funchess to play, and I would expect Stafford to gut it out and play.
Hopefully we'll know more tomorrow, but Stafford, the only owners that really are in a pinch right now with Stafford are the Breeze owners and Ryan owners, if they happen to also own Stafford.
As much as it's a great matchup against Tampa Bay, I would advise the other two guys.
And I think the other guys that are in a pinch are the Marvin Jones, Golden Tate owners, if you have somebody like a Ted Ginn or Mohamed Sanu.
Yep. Okay, that game's
coming. But at least you know
up.
Those guys are healthy. Look, we don't know what Jake Ruddock's going to do. He could be Peterman.
Yeah.
Or he could be good.
I would personally start Sanu or Ginn over those two receivers if Stafford's not practiced yet.
Yeah, I would wait it out.
Okay. And Chris Hogan? Out? No. We don't expect him? Okay. All right, here's something awesome for you. We got an opportunity to save you some money if you want to buy some holiday gifts for football fans out there. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to cbssports.com/gift. And there you're going to see a whole bunch of gear and accessories from your favorite teams. And you're going to use our promo code CBSFantasy. So again, the URL to go to is cbssports.com/gift. Start shopping and use the promo code CBSFantasy to get a big discount, 15% off an order of $75 or more. So you want to get someone a jersey or a hat, some shirts, whatever it is, you go to cbssports.com/gift and you use the promo code CBSFantasy, 15% off your order of $75 or more. This is awesome stuff. I recommend it. Actually did this for Dave Richer for his kid. I bought his kid a bar mitzvah gift on the CBS Sports shop at cbssports.com/gift and used that promo code CBSFantasy for 15% off. All right, we're going to do stashes in a second, but are you ready? Maybe for the last time this year. For one final round of Fantasy Feud. Just one round.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I just thought this was interesting. I was curious to see where this guy ranked, so this inspired me. I want to know, over the last three games played, who are the top 5 performers, non-quarterbacks, in PPR? Heath.
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara is number three. Jamie, you have a chance for one or two.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is number two. Pass or play?
Pass.
All right, Heath. Oh. We've got numbers two and three off the board. Keenan Allen and Alvin Kamara. We are looking for the top five PPR performers over the last three games.
Non-QB.
Non-QB.
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is number one. 7 points better than Keenan Allen. Five fewer catches, though. We've got one, two, and three. We've got Brown, Allen, and Kamara.
Brown, Allen, and Kamara.
We're going to give Heath a second here to pull up the list of teams.
Thank you.
Inspire him a little bit.
Thank you.
I also want to remind you to email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and make sure you listen to our mailbag. We have a ton of questions this week. A ton of questions. Going to need you to answer
this
now.
Is probably stupid, but AJ Green.
AJ Green is incorrect. That is strike one.
Okay. How about Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell's number four.
So I just need number five.
26 catches for Le'Veon Bell. Yes. So we've got Brown, Keenan Allen, Alvin Kamara, and Le'Veon Bell.
How about DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins is incorrect.
Okay.
Two strikes.
Two
How
strikes.
You feeling over there, Jamie?
I have a guess. I don't feel confident in the guess, but I have a guess.
This is Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is incorrect by 3 points. He's number six.
Oh, such a good guess.
It was a good guess. All right, Jamie.
I'm going to get just because he scored a lot of touchdowns recently, but Rex Burkhead.
No, that is a decent guess. It's a tough game. The answer is Robbie Anderson. And Heath wins.
Yes.
And why not? Heath always wins these contests. So
I think I won the last one, didn't I?
I don't think I've ever won Fantasy Feud. I always win Fantasy Jeopardy.
Oh, okay, Fantasy Jeopardy. Well, we all lost Fantasy Jeopardy if you remember last time. It was just awful. Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, Alvin Kamara, Le'Veon Bell, and Robbie Anderson. And I think I was just thinking to myself, like, I'm in some PPR leagues now. If I'm playing against Le'Veon Bell, like, I'm just screwed. He's like...
Was it last year or two years
Antonio
ago?
Antonio Brown, obviously, too.
Last year or 2 years ago where Bell had that ridiculous game that just destroyed every... I think it was last year. Let me look.
I don't know.
There was that one game he had last year in the playoffs. It was 14 or 15 where he just went bonkers.
No, in PPR leagues, it's like it's not fair what he does. What he did last week.
Alvin Kamara is pretty close to that level.
Yeah, but the thing is, Kamara's score has nine fewer catches over his last
game. I'll tell you what, if
Bell.
Mark Ingram's out, I originally, when I first put my rankings in the spreadsheet, I had, even with Ingram playing, Kamara won.
Yeah.
Really?
Did you see the highlight where Joe Buck called him Kamara and Kamara on the same play?
No, I didn't. That's great.
Somebody's... Oh, yeah. So it was week 14 last year at Buffalo. Le'Veon Bell, 38 carries, 236 yards, and three touchdowns. Four catches for 62 yards. He destroyed everybody that played in the first round of the playoffs. 38 carries.
Oh, my gosh.
236 yards. Three touchdowns.
Wow.
6.2 yards per carry for your love of...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Four catches for 62 yards on top of it. So he had 298 total yards and three touchdowns.
Do you think it would be interesting to do a categories? Like, we've always talked about doing, like, a rotisserie sort of categories, head-to-head categories, football league with, like, rushing touchdowns, rushing yards, passing touchdowns, passing yards, whatever. What if we did yards per carry as a category? That would be kind of interesting.
Would there have to be a minimum?
There would have to be a minimum.
Of course. Yeah.
Like eight carries or something.
Well,
five, I don't
I
know.
Don't think there would have to be a minimum because you're doing
a team.
Oh,
right. No, it's cumulative.
It's for the team.
It's
so
cumulative,
if one,
right.
Like Alex Smith would have won you last week.
Because
he had a 70-yard carry.
Oh, I didn't think about putting in wide receivers and running backs. I just thought it would be running backs. Yeah, okay.
But
our wide receivers
and
quarterbacks.
If it was for the team, it would be
right,
everybody.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I think that's kind of cool.
I think we should do it in Azer's memory.
I think that we should... See if we could actually make this happen.
Do it for the rejects league.
I don't think it's I don't think it's possible. I have to talk to some people here to make it happen.
You can just keep track of it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, tell everybody that's what.
That's pretty
easy.
Speaking
of things by yourself, you ever going to set the matchups for the podcast league?
Or the rejects league?
I'll get around to it. The games don't start till tomorrow. All right. So weeks 15 and 16 stashes. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't think there's anybody out there that's like great that needs to be stashed. But let's take a look anyway. And
I think it's more defenses and quarterbacks.
I've done this so much. I only do quarterbacks, tight ends, and DSTs. So Joe Flacco is coming off his best game last week. He's at Cleveland next week, and he's home against the Colts in Week 16. I'm just thinking to myself, like, who the heck is actually starting Joe Flacco?
Here's the problem.
Two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, two quarterback leagues. My problem, because I saw that name, and I was like, you know, Flacco's throwing the ball deep. I kind of maybe agree with Adam. They've had four games this year where they've held the opponent to 10 points or fewer. He's thrown more than 28 passes once. Two of those games, he threw 17 and 15 passes.
Yeah. He also doesn't typically play well on the road.
Yeah, right. I'm not really loving it. But I do think Blake Bortles is more interesting against Houston and at San Francisco in weeks 15 and 16. Like, that's a guy that I could see. You guys never seem to really agree, but he seems to have a floor of 18 points.
He's probably going to finish, I don't know where he is right now, but as a top 15 fantasy quarterback. And I don't think he's been started in probably more than 30 or 40% of leagues over the course of the season.
That might be high even, yeah.
But that's more two quarterback leagues than it is one quarterback leagues. And look, we're going to – I think there's probably going to be a benching or an injury in the next couple weeks that's going to be impactful.
Yeah.
Because teams that are out of it may start to look at younger quarterbacks. But you also have the Aaron Rodgers situation coming back. So I think, like, if you're looking at it a 10-team league, if you have Rodgers and Bortles staring you in the face, that's an easy choice.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a couple other guys that for week 16, in case they get dropped, Andy Dalton is facing Detroit. Detroit's been struggling a little bit against the pass. And Jared Goff, his next two games are at Philadelphia and at Seattle. So he's like 98% owned, but I could see Goff getting dropped, and I would love to pick him up for a game at Tennessee in week 16. If you're desperate, Jay Cutler's got Kansas City in week 16, but you know, Bortles, Flacco for deeper leagues, maybe these are guys you look at. And see if anybody gets dropped. If Marcus Mariota gets dropped or something like that, he's at San Francisco next week. If Jared Goff gets dropped, maybe you want to pick up Jameis Winston for week 16 at Carolina. Tight ends, I do think Ricky Seals-Jones is very interesting because you can start him this week. And at Washington week 15 and against the Giants week 16, like, that's intense right there. That's terrific for Ricky Seals-Jones. And then, you know, just like Flacco, you've got Ben Watson, who's got Cleveland in week 15 and the Colts in week 16. I don't think anybody wants to start him.
I feel like Danny Woodhead, and I can look the numbers up to make sure, but I feel like Danny Woodhead just completely killed Ben Watson.
Maybe.
I don't
touchdown or bust.
I don't know that he's, because earlier in the year, he was having to have games with 7, 8, 9 targets.
That was like really early in the year. I think once they started to get healthy across the board, you know, you had the Macklin injury for a little bit. Wallace wasn't right.
Yeah, he had 10 targets in week 9. That was the last game without Woodhead. Since then, 1-3
Would they play
week
9?
No. Woodhead's played 3 games.
No, who did they play in week 9?
Oh, I don't have any idea. I'm not looking at their schedule.
And we've got, you know, Jack Doyle, if he's available. He's got the Bills this week, and he's at Denver next week, which is great. If anybody drops Jordan Reed, I actually saw Jordan Reed dropped in a league. He's got Denver in week 16, if you want to go all the way that far. Ricky Seals-Jones is definitely the best, like, matchup guy. Charles Clay has Miami next week. And Hunter Henry's got the Jets in week 16. But, you know, you got to start him. Hunter Henry's, you know, playing well. All right, so there you go. Ricky Seals-Jones, I think, is the big takeaway there. And then for DSTs, I don't know if you guys have seen anything. Oh, also Jason Witten. Jason Witten for this week against the Giants and next week against the Raiders. DSTs. So if you own the Patriots, who have been great lately and have a good chance to be great again, they are at Pitt this week. They're at Pittsburgh next week. So if you own the Patriots, look at the Broncos at the Colts, and that's it. Actually, I don't know where that game is.
It's in Indianapolis.
Okay, Broncos at the Colts and the Colts against Denver.
It's on a Thursday night, so I think that favors the Colts.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough.
Detroit against the Bears. Baltimore. So, no, everybody's got Baltimore, but you probably want to sit them this week, right, at Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. At Cleveland next week, if anybody drops Baltimore, pick up the Ravens and stash them for week 15. If anybody drops the Eagles at the Rams this week, pick them up for week 15 at the Giants. And then we talked about the Falcons at Tampa Bay yesterday.
Don't rule out the Bears if Stafford's out for multiple weeks. And the Bills play who next week?
Dolphins.
The Dolphins defense could be good if Peterman is the starter for multiple weeks.
I said we talked about Atlanta at Tampa Bay yesterday. They're at Tampa Bay next week.
The one thing about the Dolphins is they're not a very good defense, but they've been opportunistic the last two games. They played a bad Broncos defense, and they beat them up. Mm-hmm. And they had a fumble return for a touchdown against the Patriots, which doesn't happen very often. So they have a couple of playmakers on their defense. They're just not a very good defense as a whole.
And on the flip side, that game's in Buffalo. If Tyrod's playing, I think I'd like the Bills defense.
The Bills defense Jay Cutler's not very good.
I'm having a hard time deciding in two leagues where I have a bye. I have the Titans from the last 2 weeks. They go to San Francisco in week 15. So I don't think it's as good a matchup with Garoppolo, but I don't think it's a terrible matchup.
I had the same decision. I actually dropped the Titans to pick up the Colts because I have seen enough. You know, the Broncos have had an interception in all but one game with their three-headed quarterback situation, and I think it's 10 games in a row. So it's like all the way back to week two where they haven't not thrown an interception.
And I just, the reason why I don't really like this exercise this much this year is, like, listen to all the teams we just named, right? You don't have to stash them.
Right.
And they're all basically the same. It's a lot of bad defenses. You're playing the matchups. There aren't that many teams competing against you at this point. So I just don't think you have to do this. I would say if anybody drops the Ravens or the Eagles, you jump on them immediately and you stash them for weeks 15 and 16. Because Baltimore, in week 15, they are at Cleveland. And in week 16, they're home against the Colts.
Who do the Steelers have in week 16?
Houston on the road.
So that's another one. They're going to get dropped potentially next week.
Right, for the Patriots, mm-hmm. Right. And then they're at Houston in week 16.
The problem with this also is, and we run into this every year, is somebody owns the Ravens, for example. Like, I'm in a league where I have the Ravens. I miss the playoffs. I'm not dropping
right.
them.
Right.
Because I can't make a transaction.
Right.
So you have a lot of that where it just doesn't help people, unfortunately.
I'll tell you something that really pissed me off yesterday. I thought I was very happy that I made the playoffs in potentially 6 out of 9 leagues. Turns out, one of my 12-team leagues, only 4 teams make the playoffs. Mm. And I lied on the air. Not on purpose. But yeah. Now I'm out of the playoffs.
Liar.
Ridiculous. 4 teams?
12 teams?
Yeah.
League? 12-team league and 4 teams make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because Hoyman's crazy.
I will say this. Is this a friends league?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a problem. I think 6 or 8 is better for friends leagues where it's more for fun. But if you're trying to pick the best team, a longer regular season and less teams making the playoffs is a better way to do it.
It's fine, but, you know, it's so standard.
Take some of the luck out of the playoffs. Make sure you have a longer time.
But that's why you give the top 2 teams a bye.
No buys.
Right.
But that's why you give the top 2 teams a bye.
Right.
That's true.
All right. Hey, let's do some hey real quick for 2018. We'll do this every week. We'll do just a little bit. Look ahead. Next year, do you think Carson Wentz or Tom Brady?
Brady.
Brady.
Why? Wentz has been better this year.
Yes, he has a lot of touchdowns.
You know what else he has? This is because he has 600 fewer passing yards than Brady, but he has about 240 more rushing yards than Brady, which can't be overlooked.
No.
All right, you guys think Brady?
The one thing I wonder, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, does he retire?
I don't know. I'm not sure they would have traded Garoppolo if they didn't know sure that he'd be back.
But that's him. I mean, that's not the team.
Yeah, don't you think they maybe asked him? Hey, we're obviously going
to
win.
I mean, look,
Super
he said
Bowl
he wants
year,
to play 5 more years. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
He's got too many diet plans.
If my diet were as boring as Tom Brady's, like, I would not play 5 more years. I'd be like, I'm out. Give me a cheeseburger. Next year, Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota?
Winston.
Yeah, right now. Assuming, Winston could have a typical, or Mariota could have a typical Mariota finish the year, and then we'll have to reconsider. Right now, it's Winston for sure.
Next year, Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara?
Kamara.
I don't know if I agree. Definitely in PPR. But I have a hard time turning down those, like, 20-carry-a-game guys. Or, you know, on average, probably be more like 18.
We could get to a point in August where Dalvin Cook's a full participant in training camp and 100% healthy, and I might agree with you. As of right now, I'll take the guy that is still healthy.
Since the Adrian Peterson trade, Kamara is averaging 9 carries and 5 catches per game. Just below both. So 13.5 to 14 touches per game.
I agree with you. You cannot be a top 5 running back for a long term with that type of
touch. There's also the chance that it becomes more of a 50-50 split next year between Kamara, and Mark Ingram.
Does it remind you at all of Giovanni Bernard, where they maybe were just worried about how he would hold up with a feature back workload?
I was thinking it reminded me of your favorite running back.
Who? Who's my favorite running back?
C.J. Spiller.
Oh, C.J. Spiller. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, Kamara's obviously awesome, and he plays in a great offense. I'm not saying he's going to flame out like those guys, but I love those primary ball carriers. But, yeah, I mean, the injury's got to be a factor there with Cook.
I don't know what the numbers are, but doesn't Mark Ingram, if he hits a certain total, become a free agent?
I think he has to be an all-pro.
He has to be all-pro.
And the problem is the running back on his own team has been better.
They both could be.
How many running backs make all-pro?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
So Gurley's probably locked, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Le'Veon.
Yeah, probably. But I think you could make... No, I don't know. Yards per carry, Heath.
It's first team all-pro he has to get? I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, if you are in need of great talent right now for your fantasy team, we have been helping you out all season long. Hopefully we've gotten you this far. But if you're in need of great talent for your business and you're short on time, you need to try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and we're letting you try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. Go there right now, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. You don't have a lot of time, but you need the right tools. You need smarter tools, and ZipRecruiter makes hiring much easier because it lets you post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. You want to get on Facebook, you want to get on Twitter, you want to get on over 100 job boards. You use ZipRecruiter at ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. So the reason why ZipRecruiter is better is, unlike other hiring sites, it doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and it finds them. And I love this stat, your stat of the game. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. The dashboard is so easy to use. I've actually seen this in action. It lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish. You don't have to worry about resumes and calls and all this stuff coming in. Just let ZipRecruiter do all the work. So again, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. Whenever you need to hire, maybe it's now, maybe it's in the future, remember that URL, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. Let's preview the Saints at the Falcons on Thursday night. This is a strange game, guys, because you're looking at this game and you're wondering, can I start the quarterbacks? Which is just a really weird thought. You've got Breeze. Well, you got Ryan, who's the number 18 quarterback in fantasy, and Breeze, who's the number 13 quarterback in fantasy. Are either of these guys a slam dunk must start option for you right now?
They are for me. I looked at the track record last week with Cam Newton against the Saints, and Matt Ryan's numbers against the Saints are amazing, as you would expect. I mean, the Saints have been a bad defense for the recent memory, but I just think the pass rush just isn't the same for them. You know, you could talk about their cornerbacks getting healthy with Lattimore and Crawley, you know, being back each of the last two games, but I don't think they're going to get a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan.
You like him better than Breeze?
No, I like Breeze better.
Okay.
I think both guys are top 10 worthy.
Boy, it's really frustrating because we've been telling the Breeze owner and the Ryan owner to start them most weeks.
The Falcons' run defense has been good more times than not. They're not going to stop this team because the Panthers' run defense was good.
Oh, they'll be able to run.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. That's but I think this could be a game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons win.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons win. I
think they're winning it with their ground game.
I don't disagree that I'm probably starting Breeze and Ryan. They're 10th and 11th for me. But I would start Alex Smith over them. I would start Jameis over them. I would start Andy Dalton over them.
Yeah, I'm the only one I'm with you on is Dalton. I just think that this has a shootout type of feel to it on a Thursday night game, which is odd. But I think the Falcons will score, and the Saints, I think, could be chasing points because they're on the road.
I mean, the thing is, like, both of these teams score, and we just haven't seen the production from Matt Ryan. He's got 18 to 22 fantasy points in six straight games before a dud last week at Minnesota, which was understandable. You think he gets better than that? Because he hasn't had more than 22 points all year. All right.
I think he's right in that range.
And as far as Breeze goes, who do you like better, Heath?
I've got Breeze 10, Ryan 11.
And Jamie has Breeze 6, Ryan 7. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott or Breeze?
Breeze.
Both over Dak.
Both over Dak? Okay.
I would start both over Russell Wilson.
Let me go to the running backs. I'm not even going to waste time on the Saints running backs. Just starting them both. And I guess we could revisit it tomorrow if Ingram still has a toe injury and do you play him if he's hurt, whatever. But the Falcons running backs, I mean, this is the stat for Devontae Freeman. He gets 12 carries a game now. And he hasn't had double-digit fantasy points in standard without 18 or more carries. And he doesn't get that anymore. So, like, he played really well last week. Ran great at Minnesota, which was a little surprising. But he only ended up with 7 fantasy points in standard, 8 fantasy points in PPR.
I think he's become Lamar Miller.
But Miller at least gets you more carries and better chance to score, it seems.
Well, I mean, Freeman's a better player.
Freeman's a better player.
Well, I'll give you a number that I know you'll like.
Yeah.
The Saints are giving up 5 yards per carry on the ground this year.
Yeah, they are not very good.
They have allowed. I'm sorry. I apologize. They are running for 5 yards per carry.
but they are giving up.
They are giving up 4.6 yards per carry.
Come
still,
on, Heath.
One of the highest numbers in the league. Freeman's a number 2 running back. I get your concerns, but he's a number 2.
Yeah. I, again, there are guys you could certainly start over him. Jamal Williams, Alex Collins, Rex Burkhead. You know, there's a list of guys, and you can make an argument for Giovanni Bernard and Peyton Barber, you know, just based on what their workload and matchups should be. But
that's risky, just because it's the Thursday game.
Of course, but let's say it was Sunday. I mean, you know, if you're looking at it, where's the upside plays? Like, I would say Barber and Bernard have higher ceilings going in than what Freeman does. Because keep in mind, Freeman's still got to lose touches to Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
That's a big part of why he hasn't been great.
Well, I looked at all the running backs who had 15 or fewer touches against the Saints, like the relevant ones, not guys who had like two carries. There have been four running backs with 15 or fewer touches and double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues against the Saints. But three of those four did most of their production in the passing game, caught touchdowns or had big yardage games. And Freeman's unlikely to do that, right? He's very uninvolved in the passing
game. Yeah, I think there's a little selection bias there, because running backs that get 15 touches or fewer and are good are usually pass-catching running backs. There's not a lot of good running backs that don't catch a lot of passes that only get 14 carries.
And I guess the broader point is that given Freeman's workload, it's hard for him or anyone to score a lot of fantasy points. He has to score a touchdown, it seems.
Which he hasn't done a lot lately.
All right, so then as of right now, as of Wednesday morning, are we starting the waiver wire guys over Freeman?
Yes.
Only Gio for me.
Yeah, I would start both Gio and...
Barber. But not Kerwin Williams.
No.
And what about, and then obviously we're starting them over Tevin Coleman. Do you have any interest in Tevin Coleman?
No.
He's a low-end flex.
All right, let's talk about Michael Thomas. The last five games against Atlanta, Devin Funchess, Dez Bryant, Doug Baldwin, Mike Evans, Adam Thielen. Good wide receivers. Funchess, Dez, Baldwin, Evans, and Thielen. They are averaging less than seven fantasy points in standard scoring leagues against the Falcons, who early in the year were giving up a lot of points to the number ones, but now they're killing them. Are you worried about Michael Thomas at all?
I don't think you can bench him.
I think it's the same concerns you've had about Michael Thomas all season long. I mean, you know, he scored his first touchdown, what, since week three?
Yeah, it was like seven or eight games.
Yeah, so he's been disappointing. In standard, in PPR, he's been great, but you know, he hasn't delivered the expectations, I think, that a lot of us had for him.
You wouldn't start Martavis Bryant over him?
No.
No.
You wouldn't start Marquise Goodwin over him?
Nope.
All right, nope. So without getting too fancy, Julio Jones and Michael Thomas were starting.
Yeah.
What about Sanu and Ginn? Who do you like better, and are they starts?
They're number three receivers. I like Sanu better.
I like Sanu better in PPR. I think Ginn has a little more boom potential.
Okay. Okay. So what about Devontae Freeman or Ginn or Sanu?
Freeman.
Martavis Bryant over these guys?
No.
Bryant over the receivers?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
No for Heath, yes for Jamie. So which receivers would you consider starting, Heath, over Sanu and Ginn?
Cooper Kupp, Nelson Agholor, assuming that Zach Ertz is out. Marquise Goodwin.
Okay. You really like Goodwin this week.
Sterling Shepard.
Gotcha. All right. I think that pretty much concludes it. We don't have interest in the tight ends. We're not starting the DSTs. And there you go. That's New Orleans at Atlanta. So we move on to some tough calls for Fantasy Week 14. Yeah, think about that. And we'll do starter sit Thursday and Friday. But let's get a jump on it. This will get in a ton of questions about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is the number one quarterback in fantasy. He scored 34 fantasy points against the Falcons. No other quarterback has scored more than 22 fantasy points against the Falcons. Wilson scored 30 fantasy points against the Eagles. That's a season high against the Eagles, not by much, by 1 point over Kirk Cousins, by 2 points over Eli Manning. He's been incredible. But Jacksonville has been incredible against quarterbacks. They allow the fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Mariota had 14. Josh McCown had 4. Roethlisberger had 2. Goff had 10. Dalton had 5. In the midst of this great stretch for Andy Dalton, where he's scoring like 18 to 24 fantasy points every week, he had 5 against Jacksonville. And Rivers had 19. 2 weeks ago, though, Blaine Gabbert had 20 as Jacksonville went to the West Coast. Anyway.
That was back-to-back road games, though, too, right?
I believe so.
People want to know, what do we do? Russell Wilson going cross-country, facing the best defense. Start? I know you're going to say start. Who would you start over Russell Wilson?
The two guys Thursday night. I'd start Goff over him.
Ooh, boy, I got to exhale on that, really?
Look, I get it. Here's the thing. If you have Russell Wilson, you're not benching him.
But you could. You probably don't have Breeze or Ryan with Wilson.
Right. So it's really more of, you know, do you have these – like, I'm not getting cute and starting Garoppolo over him. I'm not going to start Jameis over him.
I am going to start Jameis over him.
And I can I take that back. I would, too. I don't know how many people have to make that choice, though.
Right. Probably not.
It's interesting. All right, Jamie's got Wilson 11th. And Heath, you've got him 8th. And but, Dave has
and
sixth.
I'd start Dalton over him, too.
And I'd start Alex Smith over him.
Rivers, Roethlisberger, Alex Smith. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Smith, great history against the Raiders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Gosh, I want to have more. I want to feel like Wilson's going to pull this off.
I think he probably will. We have him ranked in the top 11. Like, we think he's going
to score
20 fantasy
points.
But
this isn't a 25-point game for him.
I don't believe so, no.
This is more of, I think, 18 to 20.
And there is, you have to look at it as a range, and there's a 2-point Roethlisberger game range where Jacksonville's defense is just incredible.
Yeah. And the thing, here's the thing that really scares me. So, like, last year, he went to Tampa Bay and they lost like 14-5 or something like that. And he got sacked 6 times. And it was this moment where we just said, their offensive line, we knew it was bad.
Right.
It's this bad. And that could happen.
But that wasn't in December. Seattle in December is generally a different animal.
True. But we've never seen this Jacksonville we've never seen this Jacksonville team play like this, clearly. And have they really been challenged of late to the same level like Russell
by
Wilson
a quarterback?
Yeah.
Rivers.
But he's not mobile.
Fantasy points.
He's not a mobile guy.
They haven't been challenged all year by quarterback. I just read the quarterbacks they've faced. The performance against Roethlisberger was remarkable. It picked them off 5 times. And I'm not doubting their pass defense. It's damn good. But this is clearly the best quarterback.
This is just one of those things where you look at it and say, logically, he has really no chance. Because their slot corner is good, so Baldwin's going to have a tough time. They defend tight ends decently enough. And Jimmy Graham on the road, we know he hasn't exactly been great.
Okay.
Their outside guys aren't going to win.
I'm going to tell myself a little bit because this is funny. I said that wasn't
it. It was in December, wasn't it? I knew it was in December.
It was not December. It was November 27th.
Oh, okay.
So December is totally different.
And
it was
it's a 1 o'clock start, right?
I don't know. I have that right in front of me now. Seattle? No, it's at 4.
Okay, 4:25. So that helps them a little bit.
Oh, man, we got 5 4 o'clock games? That's too many.
Oh, I like it.
All right, let's rank the 4 o'clock. We got 2 gems here. We got Jets at Denver. No. Jets at Denver.
That's the middle TV is Seattle, Jacksonville.
Or is it going to be Eagles Rams?
Okay, so Prisco sits on the right, so that'll be Jaguars. Jaguars game.
Well, it's going to be on the whole right bank of TVs because there's only 4 games on.
5 games. 5 games. Jets at Denver.
They have 2 somewhere else.
Tennessee at Arizona, which is actually a pretty interesting game. Redskins at the Chargers. Eagles Rams and Seattle Jacksonville. Nice slate of games.
So Eagles
nice
Rams will be in the middle. The right, the way I'm, what I'm saying is we have a bank of TVs that we watch games in our green room. The middle TV will be the
Rams.
The right TV, which is where Pete Prisco sits,
he's at Jacksonville.
He does radio for Jacksonville, he'll watch that one. And probably the left big TV will be the Chargers because Rivers is going to be our start of the week.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we go from Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin. And here's something I saw about Baldwin.
Just to let you know, I'm going to do something different start sit this week. I'm going to put 2 quarterbacks in a category by themselves of guys that make me nervous. And it's Wentz and Wilson.
Hmm. Wentz, really?
The Rams have been good.
Certainly at home against quarterbacks, they've been good.
Second straight road game on the West Coast.
But they're staying there.
He didn't play great last week.
He didn't, but he had, 18 fantasy points? And I must have – you watched the whole game? I didn't because we were on the air and I couldn't see the TV. Did they miss a big play in the first half? They overthrow one or something like that?
I think he overthrew 2.
Okay.
He also got lucky on the Aguilar touchdown.
Yeah, on the touchdown? On that drive, he had the big play, the big throw to Aguilar.
Yeah,
I was lucky. Okay, anyway, Doug Baldwin, 5 games against teams with a good to great cornerback. 15 fantasy points at the Giants. 16 fantasy points against the Redskins.
Did Jenkins play in that game?
Yeah, I looked that up, 9 fantasy points at Arizona. 10 fantasy points against Atlanta, 8 fantasy points. 8 fantasy points against Atlanta. Who am I missing? 10 fantasy points against one. I put Atlanta in there twice. But he's placed 5 teams with good to great cornerbacks. I think Detroit, maybe. They placed. I don't know. Whoever it was, and he's had 84 or more yards in 4 of those games, and he's been great and he's been really good in all of them. So, but what about this week? Doug Baldwin, is he a must start?
it's hard to get away from. I have him in our FFT league where I'm playing in the first round of playoffs, and the group of receivers that I have right now are Josh Gordon, who I'd play over Baldwin.
Yep.
Sterling Shepard, who I'm playing over Baldwin.
Yep.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
And then it comes down to, including a flex, do I play Baldwin, Golden Tate, which the quarterback situation is messy, or who I just picked up, Giovanni Bernard. Right now I have Bernard in there.
PPR, you said?
It's PPR.
I'd go Bernard. I've got Baldwin 20th, which I think is the lowest I've ranked him all year long, but he's still in the start range.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to drop him. I think I'm 19th. I'm going to drop him. It won't be outside my top 24, but again, logically, it's just hard to say that there's, okay, Russell Wilson will have success here. Baldwin will have success here. Graham will have, it just doesn't make sense.
It's just that he scored 30 fantasy points against the Falcons and
the
Eagles at home, yeah. And that was like, that was really hard, especially against the Falcons.
This is a big test for Jacksonville.
This is awesome. This is a great Sunday. Very excited. Can you please make a column, a section in your waiver wire column, the running back that Adam is so nervous about, and just put Leonard Fournette in there? Because I am so nervous about him.
Maybe starts it, but thanks for reading.
Starts it. So, you want me to go through why? Since he came back from the ankle injury, he's averaging 2.9 yards per carry. Cincinnati allows the third fewest fantasy points to running backs, and they are giving up some decent what's wrong with me? Long flight yesterday. Seattle allows the third fewest fantasy points to running backs. So I looked at the last five running backs with big workloads against Seattle. Let's just hope that Fournette gets like 16 or more carries. And Lamar Miller had a huge game, 24 fantasy points. Rob Kelly had 13. Tevin Coleman had 11. But Adrian Peterson had one fantasy point. Carlos Hyde had 6 fantasy points. He did have 7 catches, though. So 3 of the 5 had double-digit fantasy points. However, none of them averaged even 3 yards per carry.
And when were those games?
Very recently, last 6 games. So their run defense has been incredible. It basically seems like the way he's been running, Fournette's been running, and the way the Seahawks have been defending the run, he's probably going to have to score to have a good game. I really think you just look at the numbers and that's what they tell you. Are you guys as nervous about Fournette as I am?
I have him as low as I've had him all season, when healthy.
Which is what?
In the teens.
Is he behind Devontae Freeman?
No.
No.
Is he behind Peyton Barber?
No.
He's close.
Yeah.
He's behind Rex Burkhead.
Deion Lewis?
Nope.
Close.
I have to make that decision. He feels so much more likely. Fournette feels so much more likely to score than Lewis.
For sure.
But Lewis, I feel like, has a better chance for more yards against the Dolphins.
I'm the lowest on Fournette, just looking at it. I have him 14th. So I have him behind Drake. I have him behind Alfred Morris. I have him behind Burkhead. Jamal Williams. So I don't have him behind. Right now I have it Fournette, P. Ryan, Barber, Bernard, Deion Lewis.
Would you start Josh Gordon or Fournette?
Gordon and PPR.
Gordon and PPR, Fournette and standard.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in the league where I have Russell Wilson and Fournette on the same team. I have a bye.
Oh, that's great.
Avoid that mess. But I do have Fournette in the Scott Fishbowl League, and hopefully he will deliver.
Tough call, Dak Prescott. We want to praise him last week. He only scored 18 fantasy points through 102 yards. Are we ready to start him again against the Giants? At the Giants.
Yeah, it's as much a play on the Giants as it is Prescott.
Yeah, they allow the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks.
He's number 12 for me, just right on the edge.
Christian McCaffrey against the Vikings. The Vikings allow the sixth fewest receiving yards to opposing running backs, only one receiving touchdown. They face some really, really good receiving running backs, too. Chris Thompson had 3 catches for 41. Todd Gurley had 3 for 19. I think Le'Veon Bell had 4 yards receiving. Theo Riddick had 1 for 10. Devontae Freeman, 1 for 7. Tevin Coleman, 3 for 27. That was last week. So Christian McCaffrey, is he a tough call for you guys this week?
Exceptionally tough call. I made a joke on this on Monday night on Twitter about this because I was really trying to just trust my spreadsheet a little bit more this week when it came to rankings. And then Christian McCaffrey was not a top 36 running back. But
wow.
You look at it, and he's got one game since week one where he has more than 8 carries.
Yeah.
He averages like 3 yards a carry.
Yeah. Against one of the best.
The Vikings give up 3.5 yards a carry.
Right.
And they don't give up anything in the passing game. So I don't see how he approaches double digits without a touchdown.
No, he has to probably catch a touchdown, right?
And
which he's been doing lately.
Even in PPR, you might be looking at like 7 or 8 points, which is not very good in PPR.
Are we saying sit Christian McCaffrey?
I'm sitting Christian McCaffrey.
Jamie, sit Christian McCaffrey?
No, not in PPR. I can understand it in standard, but not in PPR. I mean, I think they're going to be chasing points. I think he's going to have to, you know, be a part of the game plan if they're going to have success, which they might not. But I haven't made it this far in a PPR league with Christian McCaffrey to bench Christian McCaffrey.
Here's an interesting one. In PPR, would you start Christian McCaffrey or Latavius Murray?
McCaffrey.
I would start McCaffrey. I don't love any of the running backs in this game.
Yeah.
I would start McCaffrey over Murray in PPR. I'd definitely start Murray in standard. And I would, like, if I'm in a PPR league where I have a flex, I'm probably still starting McCaffrey.
Okay. Yeah, I would start McCaffrey in both over Latavius Murray.
Mike Evans, is he a tough call against Detroit?
Not really.
No.
Yeah. People might be being a little hard on Evans. I know he was terrible last week, but the 2 weeks before that, he had 78 and 92 yards. But, to be fair, last year he averaged 82.6 yards per game. This year he's averaging 66.8 yards per game.
Well, you should feel some gratification. You called this. You said he could struggle.
It didn't really happen. Well, I'd have to check the targets, because that was my fear. He got so many targets, man. I don't know.
You said you said he could be this year's DeAndre Hopkins because getting additional help.
Yeah, and I knew he wouldn't be as bad as Hopkins because he had a good quarterback. But I thought the addition of Howard and the addition of Deshaun Jackson would get the targets down. All right, is Demaryius Thomas a tough call?
Because
the Jets have allowed 70 or more yards to a number one wide receiver in 8 straight games and 10 of 12 this year.
I think he's a tough flex call. I don't think he's necessarily a tough call in a 2-wide receiver league with no flex, but there aren't very many of those.
Have you ever been more mad at a team than the Broncos? you are so mad at the Broncos lately.
They stink.
They do. It's so funny. I love it.
I hate seeing wasted talent. Their defense, the talent's getting wasted to a certain extent. Like, Von Miller came out and complained about, like, they're wasting his good year. Not really. I mean, you won a Super Bowl. You made a lot of money. So I don't think his talent's being wasted. But, like, just collectively.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they did a good job rebuilding the offensive line. Injuries have certainly hurt them along the way.
Von Miller needs to have a talk with A.J. Green if he wants to talk about having his talent wasted.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so emails and tweets. We'll finish off the show with your questions. This is from Eric. Dear Cody, Brock, Kevin, and Deshaun.
Those are all Browns quarterbacks, right?
Yeah. In 2013, the teams of my fantasy league averaged 107 points per game in the regular season. In 2014, 105. In 2015, 105. In 2016, 105. So they've been between 105 and 107 4 straight years. This year, with all the same rules, we averaged 98.75 points per game. Is this the worst fantasy year ever? That is really interesting.
It can't be the worst year ever.
I don't think it's the worst year, anywhere close to the worst year ever. But I did notice this same thing in my home league.
Did you?
Scoring is way, like, I was measuring it, the total points scored. Normally, there's like 8 or 9 teams that scored 1,000 points in a season in this league. And I think there's been like 3.
I never paid attention to stuff like that. It's
scoring
interesting.
Is down.
I think Rodgers, Breeze, Luck, those were killers. Mm-hmm. Am I forgetting anybody?
David Johnson,
Ezekiel Elliott, just killers. That's interesting. Yeah, it's been. The first round. Let's think about the first round real quick. Okay, Brown and Bell, great picks. Zeke, 6-game suspension. That's a big deal.
He was a first round pick though.
Nope.
You're right. Sorry. David Johnson.
Yeah, I'll get the average opposition.
Terrible
so
pick. Mike Evans turns out to be a bad pick. Odell Beckham Jr. turns out to be a bad pick. Julio Jones is going to end up as a good pick because of the one game, but didn't feel that
way. Julio was a bad pick. LeSean McCoy, bad pick.
Yep.
Devontae Freeman, bad pick.
Yep.
Rodgers.
I was so sure about Devontae Freeman. He seemed like such a safe, awesome player this
Rodgers.
Year. Rodgers. He was ADP round 1.
7. Melvin Gordon's been a good pick. Beckham, you said it. Evans, bad pick. Jordy, bad pick. Jordan Howard, bad pick.
Ugh.
Yeah, and the hardest thing, I think, and one of the reasons maybe that scoring is down, is there's been no, I guess the word's probably not congruence, but like we go 3 weeks and say, okay, now we've figured this out and make a lineup change, and week 4, everything changes again.
Even round 2 has been a struggle. Is DeMarco Murray was the first pick, Jay Ajayi the second pick, AJ Green, he's been good. Brady's been good. Michael Thomas, standard, not so much. Zeke was in the 18th pick. Gronk, good. McCaffrey, good.
We haven't gotten to Dez yet?
Nope. Best pick so far, I think, of the first 2 rounds, potentially. Todd Gurley, second round.
Oh, yeah.
Dez, not great.
No.
Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, bad. third round even, Amari Cooper, Doug Baldwin, Brandon Cooks, Leonard Fournette's delivered.
Yeah, no, I mean, third these round. Are good players.
Cooks is like a top five wide receiver, isn't he?
Baldwin's been fine. Top 12, I think. Yeah, probably top 10.
Dalvin Cook was 29th overall.
Oh, we got better. We got better in the third round. Third round was a good round. All right, let's read our next email here. From Mike, is it crazy to want to start Garoppolo and Jameis Winston over Drew Brees in my two quarterback league?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
From Scott, dear Mr. Azer, Crowder or Aguilar rest of season? Before you say Crowder, check out the schedules. Crowder at the Chargers, Arizona, and Denver. Aguilar at the Rams, at the Giants, and Oakland. And what is my main man, my main homie Heath think? Man, no, doesn't want to know what Jamie thinks?
What's I would have easily answered Crowder without him showing me the schedule.
Right, it does
but
make you think a little bit.
I do have Aguilar ranked higher than Crowder this week. So it probably comes down to Zach Ertz's status. How many games does Zach Ertz play over that stretch? I'll still lean Crowder because I don't think right now Ertz misses more than a game.
And what do you think, Jamie? Crowder or Aguilar rest of season?
What's the state of the Redskins offensive line? What's the state of Jordan Reed?
Yeah, and Zach Ertz. Like, it's all dependent on somebody else.
I would take Aguilar.
Okay. I think I would take Crowder. I've seen too many 30-yard games from Aguilar. You know? Maybe it's a standard versus PPR thing because Crowder has one touchdown this year.
Yeah, I just dropped Crowder in two leagues. One was a 10-team league where somehow Josh Gordon was still available, and the other was for Sterling Shepard.
This is from Chris. Standard scoring. Would you start Alfred Morris or Leonard Fournette?
Morris.
I'm still going with Fournette.
Okay, this is from David. Dear John, Hans, Santa, and Krampus.
Oh, all Santa Claus things.
All Christmas things, yeah. I need two for a PPR league. Kareem Hunt, Rex Burkhead, Robbie Anderson.
Bench Hunt.
Two, as from Chris in Cleveland. Abraham, T-Dog, Merle, and Glenn? No?
No.
Heath, I need you. Like, this feels like the only you would know that.
No idea.
Pick two in PPR. Evan Ingram, Josh Gordon, Delanie Walker, and Deion Lewis. Evan Ingram, Josh Gordon, Delanie Walker, Deion Lewis.
That is all over the place.
Ingram and Gordon.
Ingram, Gordon, Walker, Lewis.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Why Ingram over Delanie Walker with how good Walker's been?
Well, I mean, it's not like Ingram has been bad when he's had help. In the games without Sterling Shepard, he was bad. In the games with Sterling Shepard, he was good.
You know what, Adam?
Walking Dead.
I just looked at my rankings, and you were right. Walker over Ingram.
Walker over Ingram. Okay, it's Walking Dead, by the way. Let's see. We've got John in Fredericksville, Virginia. Hey, Rudolph, Frosty, Ebenezer, and John McClain. Pick two. I don't know why I'm reading this garbage. Melvin Gordon. It's PPR. Pick two. Melvin Gordon. Kenyon Drake. This is a tough call here. Gordon, Drake, Alex Collins, and Alfred Morris in PPR. Gordon, Drake, Alex Collins, Alfred Morris.
I'll take Gordon and Collins.
I will take Gordon and Drake.
How about one from Mike? Start two of these, half PPR. Oh, start three of these. You need a flex. Adam Thielen, Doug Baldwin, Crabtree, Josh Gordon, Crowder, and Shepard. Thielen, Baldwin, Crabtree, Gordon, Crowder, Shepard. Pick three.
I'll take Thielen, Crabtree, Gordon.
I will take Thielen, Crabtree, Shepard.
Okay, this is from Eric. Dear Robert, Juju, and George. Are those suspended players? Who's
yep.
Robert.
Robert Gronkowski.
Very formal.
You know George is?
George Iloka.
Yep.
This is from Eric. I already said that. Start one. Christian McCaffrey, Nelson Aguilar, Demaryius Thomas, Jay Ajayi, Rashard Matthews.
Say again.
We got McCaffrey, Aguilar, Demaryius, Ajayi, and Matthews. Rashard.
Need one?
Uh-huh. Aguilar?
Assuming Ertz is out, I would go Aguilar.
What was the first name you said? McCaffrey?
McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'll take McCaffrey.
If it's standard league and Ertz plays, I will go Ajayi.
All right, last one. This is Brian from a town outside of Philly. Anyone? Town outside of Philly?
Harrisburg.
He's got a very good intro. I am very excited about this one.
Hello, Clark, Ellen, Rusty, and Audrey. Mm-hmm. Is Rusty still in the Navy? Pick two in a 12-team half PPR. Jordan Howard, Kenyon Drake, and Golden Tate. Howard, Drake, and Tate, half PPR.
Drake is the easy one.
Yep.
If Stafford's out, then you got to go
Howard.
It's Howard,
yeah.
If Stafford's in, Howard or Tate?
Is Vontaze Burfict playing?
I'm thinking no.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, but...
I'm going to go Drake and Howard.
Yeah, I'll take Tate. I can't trust Jordan Howard right now.
Okay. That's it for the show. Thank you for listening, everybody. For Heath, for Jamie,
Adam. You mentioned Kyle Long's out for the season, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Everybody remembers that. It was in the injuries, news, and notes section. Very, very interesting. Right before Do You Expect, our favorite game. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the AFC home game. See ya.
Bye. It's all-